Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Dmitry Kostov of Rejex SEO. Declared the SEO rockstar by the American Marketing Association, Dmitry has significantly increased the online presence of brands through custom digital marketing campaigns and innovative content marketing techniques. Dmitry is the Internet Marketing Director at Rejex SEO, and his work has appeared on Forbes, Moz, SEMrush, HackerNoon, and many other high-profile marketing platforms. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dmitry.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Well, I am from Houston, Texas. This is where our air quotes headquarters are. After nice. COVID hit, it's kind of spread out. So the whole team is spread out across the world, really, not even just the US.
Right.
But currently I'm in Houston, and for foreseeable future, I most likely going to be in Houston. Maybe somewhere northeast.
Nice, that's awesome. And what really motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Results. That's kind of the whole reason why I started the company. I am the founder of the company, and whenever I was working at another agency doing pretty much the same things that I do more or less now. The difference was that typically most marketing agencies provide some kind of predetermined plans, and then they try to fit every different business into the same plans.
Right.
While in reality, every business needs a completely different approach because their goals are different, their needs are different, their level is different. Mm-hmm. And one of the major issues that I saw with the industry was that it's not result based, but rather here's a list of deliverables. We're going to be doing them for you on a monthly basis, no matter if you need them or not. And so I decided to kind of flip that around and to make sure that it's all about bringing results, positive results. So that's what makes me get up in the morning. That's whenever I talk to our clients or potential clients, that's what makes me happy whenever we see our strategies come to fruition.
I love that. That's awesome. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
It was kind of by chance. I was hired at an agency as a developer. Mm-hmm. My background is in mathematics and development. And they quickly found out that they didn't actually need developer. They more needed like an SEO person. So they kind of stuck me into SEO. And as they say, the rest is history.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so why did you decide to start Rejex SEO?
So as I mentioned before, I just saw that there are opportunities that are not being fulfilled at the agency I worked at. Mm-hmm. And the differences between what I think still is the right approach versus what was offered there. And I was faced with the choice of go work for somebody else or try it on my own. And I pulled the plug, went on my own.
Yeah.
I thought it would be very, very easy because, you know, it's the typical mindset of a person who never had their own business. If that guy can do it, I can do it 10 times better.
Totally.
Of course, that's not correct. There was a lot of problems and issues along the way, but you know, was it six years later?
Incredible.
Almost seven. 6.5 years later, we're still here and growing.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And then, so what are some of the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
So the challenges are very different depending on kind of where in the journey of company growth you're looking at. So currently we have certain set of challenges, especially the ones that I deal with on a daily basis, versus if you ask me a year ago or two, that would be a different answer.
Right.
As of right now, it's growth pains for us. So it's hiring talent that is great talent, yet not overpriced. Mm-hmm. It's finding good clients that have proper marketing budgets, that understand the value of marketing, and just kind of growing the company, because it's much easier to take a company from $10,000 in revenue to $100,000 than from $100,000 to $1 million. And we are past million now, so it's not as easier a transition as I thought it would be from $1 million to $5 million.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So if you had one growth tip that you would like to share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Team. That's what I learned the hard way. Mm-hmm. Without team, the company does not exist. Work cannot be done. And it's worth investing more into team, into your team members. Of course, you have to make sure that you do due diligence, that you hire somebody who actually know what they're doing.
Yep.
But at the same time, you need to let your team members give them opportunity to grow and support them along the way, not just financially, but kind of morally, and make them feel that they are truly a part of the company rather than just a person who works for you. And I used to think that as long as people get paid, that's kind of what all it takes. Mm-hmm. If your job is to come in and do your work and the rest doesn't matter, because I guess that's kind of how I am personally, but that does not mean that everybody's like that. So
no.
Yeah, there you go. Team members, find the right team, invest into them in the beginning, and as they grow with you, make sure that you support them and financially and morally and in every kind of way. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult. You're going to be wasting a lot of time and effort into investing time and money into people who are not going to stay with you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a waste of time and money.
Okay. So do you have any examples of ways that you invest and really support your employees?
Sure. The obvious one is financial. That's kind of basic, right? Make sure that everybody is paid at least on the market level. Most likely need to pay them a bit more, because if you are paying as your neighbor, the same as your neighbor, then they're going to be looking around more often than you would like to.
Right.
And after that, it's anything. I mean, it comes down to just making sure that the goals of a person are aligned with the goals of the company. And that's, in my mind, the only way you as a company can grow and the person can grow. And it's okay if the goals are temporarily aligned. The only question as an agency owner, as a business owner, you have to ask is for how long those goals are aligned. Mm-hmm. Or for how long can you go along the same path while those goals are aligned? So, for example, if somebody wants to become, let's say they want to be a content writer for some kind of like a world famous nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are not world famous. We're not nonprofit, but we do need content writers and we need that work to be done. And while they're gaining that experience, they can work for you, they can work with you. And as long as you provide, as long as in the very beginning you say and be clear that, okay, here's your goal, here's our goal. For how many years can we go on the same path before we split up? And as long as that's long enough, 3-5 years, then you should be fine, because while they grow towards their goal, your company grows towards your goal, versus somebody who comes in and says, I want $1 million a year. Well, that's not a good goal. It's not kind of it's just monetary goal. All that means is that the next opportunity that they have to get paid a bit more, they're going to jump off.
Exactly.
So it needs to be the goals that are not just financial goals. And just making sure that you treat them as people, that's probably the main thing. You know, people get sick, people get tired, people have personal problems, people have different wants and demands. And it's kind of like the idea of how they say it in the Bible, the treat your neighbor as you would like to be treated.
Yeah.
That's the idea, right? So yeah. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. No, makes sense. It's some good, really good common sense advice. So I like that. Yeah. So I'd love to talk about sales a little bit with you. Sure. So what are your tips for bringing in more leads and closing more sales in your agency?
That's one of the things that we can definitely get improved on. Currently, we are fortunate enough, we're blessed enough that we can be picky. So as we stand right now, we don't take on every client, that potential client that comes into us. We make sure that we are looking for a specific client with specific budget, and if they do not fit, if there is no good fit, then it's okay.
Right.
We are fortunate that way. Now, in general, I would say that should be the goal. Now, obviously, along the way, there will be clients, bad clients, or clients you don't really want, in order to grow, especially in the very beginning of the journey. In the very beginning, I worked with very small clients who were the worst clients, but they got me to this point, right? So
yeah,
that's not a bad thing whatsoever.
Yeah.
In terms of kind of, I wouldn't call it sales and leads generation. I would call it more of a positioning of the company and brand strategy, because if you're just one of the hundreds, it's going to be very difficult to grow. You need to have that differentiating factor. You need to be either, instead of being a generalist, typically it's better to be a specialist, in my mind. So just develop your brand strategy, your business strategy for a longer term. And it's okay to say no. That's one of the biggest things. So I don't know if it's really like a sales or lead generation advice. In terms of, I guess, lead generation itself, I would say test everything. Our company motto is basically all about data. Our saying is, we trust the data. We don't trust our gut. We trust the data.
Yeah.
So, as a business owner, that needs to be, take all of the emotion out of it. If you run campaigns for a long enough time with high enough budgets, and see that they're not performing, even if you love it, because of whatever reasons, just look at the numbers. The same thing in terms of performance, the same thing in terms of, I mean, everything. And test everything, but don't get hung up in one direction that might be wasting your money. So that's the advice.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so I know you were talking about positioning. So how do you guys position yourselves to stand apart from other agencies, and what makes you guys unique?
Right. As I mentioned, we're all about data. So our main thing is the saying, the motto, we don't trust our gut, we trust the data. Mm-hmm. And that's how everything is done in the company. So if a potential client comes in, we start with a data audit. We look at opportunity and potential instead of saying, here are three plans, choose from them. That's not how we do at all. We look at every single piece of data we can get for that business, mm-hmm. in terms of marketing at least. And we come up with the strategy that is best for that business at that time in their industry with their goals in mind. And sometimes it turns out to be that we're not going to be a good match.
Right.
That they don't need SEO or PPC, and that's okay. So we will tell them that. We will say, okay, this is our findings, and you know what? Sorry. It's not going to make sense for us to just take your money and do nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's transparency with the clients and making strategy, building strategy based on numbers, based on data, because the data does not lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. And then what is a red flag that a potential client is not going to be a good fit?
Not understanding the value of marketing, or not valuing the results of marketing. That's probably the biggest red flag that I have noticed in the past. Mm-hmm. When somebody comes into you and says, I want everything, SEO and PPC and social media and design, and I need a new website, and I have $2,000. Okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or at the same time, somebody comes in and says, I have, I don't know, $10,000 a month, just make my phone ring. That's not a good client either, because at that point they start hanging up on certain numbers instead of provide, like, let's say they want to see the number of calls. I want 100 calls a month. Does it matter that it's 100 calls a month, or that is what matters the quality of those calls? So would you rather get five calls that bring you $100,000 each, or 100 calls that are complete garbage?
Yeah.
So that's where the biggest red flag for me are, the red flags for me are, and that's when we can say it's not a good fit.
Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense. So what has been overall the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome when growing your agency, and how have you overcome that?
I think it's more of a mindset, or not even a mindset. It's kind of all the technical parts of the business, they can be fairly easily figured out. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting enough revenue. Okay, the answer is sales. How do you get more sales? You need more leads. How do you get more leads? You need more marketing or advertising. And it just kind of fairly straightforward path. Sometimes it comes down to not having enough budget. Then, okay, the question is, do you take a loan? Do you, reduce some spend somewhere, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That stuff is kind of fairly straightforward. And yeah, it's not easy, but the idea is very simple. What's very difficult for me was the kind of the mindset and understanding how the business should be run, because that's what takes not just changes in some kind of numbers or investing in one platform more versus the other, mm-hmm. or closing some kind of contract. It's more about changing myself in a sense. Mm-hmm. And to give you an example, as a person myself, I am very very, I don't care about the words of affirmation. Like, I hate myself. I hate those meetings and speeches and whenever little celebrations after a project gets closed or some kind of like a team activities or whatever it is. For myself, it's all about just get in, do the work, get it done, do your best. And that's all I care about. But that's not how most people work. So I had to, I used to think that if I'm this way, that's the best way. And the rest kind of doesn't matter. And it took me a long time to flip that mindset upside down, that people are different, that even though technically it might be the best efficient way, the most efficient way, but in terms of productivity, it's not the best way. In terms of keeping the team members, it's not the best way. Mm-hmm. That everybody thinks and does things differently, so that people do need that little good job, like I
pat hate on the back.
Myself, I hate that so much.
Yeah,
because I worked with every kind of client and at every kind of company, and those good job meetings, I hated them so much.
Yeah,
but it's needed for certain people, mm-hmm. and that's when you kind of have to change yourself, and that's the most difficult thing.
That's really interesting insight, because it's true. We all, you know, we sort of default to the way that we think. We assume that other people just understand that and come from that same place. So that's really interesting that that was your experience, and a really good learning experience, I think.
Right. Yeah.
So do you have any productivity hacks to help save you time that you've learned?
Little hacks, there are tons of them. I'm not sure if I can kind of name them all, but like a simple one would be, for example, in your email, wherever you use Gmail or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's say set up filters that create folders and separate the all incoming emails into little categories or folders, so that you know what's more priority, what's client related, what's not client related, stuff like that. That's just simple stuff. And mm-hmm. I'm sure if you Google, productivity tips, that's what's going to come up on most of those lists. And I'm sure they're great articles about that stuff. What I would say, especially for business owners, it kind of comes back to that team, and the best productivity, it's not a hack, but like a productivity tip, mm-hmm. is you need to find somebody who's better than you or whatever other team member at doing something that you or that team member is not enjoying doing. So instead of dragging, basically it's the idea of making sure that people want to come to work on Monday.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I also strive to, and it's kind of one of the company goals in a sense, or not goals, but company, trends, that's not a trend. Let's call it a goal.
Okay.
I really don't like the thank goodness it's Friday, like TGIF. Mm,
yeah.
And then Mondays are the worst. That means that if you are that person who is looking forward towards Friday and hate Mondays, it means that whatever you're doing, you should not be doing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's literally, so if you think about it, you spend 40 hours, typically more than 40 hours with work-related activities. If you're driving to the office, that's, extra hours of driving to the office, and with lunch hours and whatever else, it's typically closer to 10, 11 hours a day that are work-related. And that's considering that we sleep another 8 hours or more, mm-hmm. then 80% of your life becomes a nightmare. Instead, what you should find is where, instead of I hate Mondays, I love Fridays, it should be, oh man, it's Friday already, I can't wait to get to Monday, to get to what I love doing.
Yeah,
that's the idea of, if you love your, what's the saying, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I strive for. So in terms of productivity, that's how you increase productivity. If you find somebody as a team member who loves doing whatever that little activity is, mm-hmm. that you yourself would hate doing, or if somebody else is handling it and they're hating it, the idea would be that most of your daily activities, most of people, your team daily activities are what they very much enjoy doing. And of course, there is the little things that everybody has to do, and it's kind of a drag, but you have to do it. I know, answering emails, chatting with people, taking calls, whatever, like, as long as that's not majority of your time, maybe it's 20-25% of your time, then that will be that's kind of, you have to do it. But yeah, as long as majority of your time is spent on what you truly enjoy doing, then you're going to be the happiest. The happiest means you're going to be the most productive. It means that you're going to be the most efficient. It means that innovation comes in very easily, because mm-hmm. if you enjoy whatever you're doing, you're going to be looking up different ideas, people in the industry, people who are doing the same thing, finding new approaches and strategies and whatever else.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. And I think it all comes down to taking care of your employees, like you mentioned before, and, you know, helping boost that loyalty. Right. And it all comes into play. So what systems or software have been critical for helping streamline your operations?
One of the biggest challenges we kind of still have is daily project management software that fits our goals.
Okay.
And there are so many different ones that have been advertised all over the place, like monday.com, asana.com, and all those, and they don't really fit what we need. I'm sure for most small organizations, they're going to be just fine. But whenever we're a marketing agency, we have monthly recurring clients, mm-hmm. and none of those platforms supported. So it has been very difficult to find something that works for us very well. And we've gone through probably 10 different platforms, testing different platforms in the last 3-4 years. Currently we use Excello. It's okay. It matches about 80% of the needs.
Okay.
So we're still looking for if there is anything better. So if anybody knows a very good project management, task management software for monthly recurring clients, agencies, you know, let me know.
Yeah.
So that's been one of the we're still struggling a little bit there. Other than that, since we are a marketing agency, SEO agency, SEMrush for ranking tracking and backlink research and stuff like that, that's been great for us for years.
Yep.
I work with them very closely. And those are the two main software tools that we use on a daily basis. The rest are kind of standard, you know, Gmail, Google Chats, whatever they are, kind of small stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So where do you see Rejects SEO in 5 years' time?
Well, the plans are huge. We hope that the growth is going to be there. And even for 2022, we have our company goal as a company is to double the revenue and double the net profits.
Amazing.
Which is quite a goal.
And very ambitious.
We hope that we can get there. So I don't know where we're going to be in 5 years, but we're expanding rapidly, and hopefully in 5 years we're going to be you know, much bigger company with much bigger clients, much better clients, mm-hmm. and doing amazing work as we do now.
Very exciting. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I don't really read books in terms of like the work stuff. Nowadays it's all online. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I can think of, it's called, I forgot the name of it. It's a branding book, like a brand strategy book. I forgot the name of it.
That's okay.
And you have one, but
Do you have like a podcast or anything that you listen to or anything like that that's been helpful?
Definitely. There are quite a few podcasts that I listen to for a very generic kind of high level marketing, almost entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's called Brand Wars. I really like it. It's the podcast that compares, for example, Coca-Cola and Pepsi and how they competed over time and stuff like that. So it's kind of a historical entertainment.
Okay.
Very interesting historical facts. For just knowledge, for marketing knowledge, there are quite a few somewhat technical. I love the Content Marketing Institute one. This is This Old Marketing, great podcast. Unfortunately, they stopped recording new ones. There is a, I keep forgetting the podcast names.
Okay. Well, those are some
probably the main ones.
Yeah, those are some great suggestions. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Nothing extra special, especially now since we are remote. Since COVID, we didn't go back to the office full time. I don't think we're going to go to the office full time ever again, pretty much.
Interesting.
We still have an office, like a shared space where we can go and have meetings in person and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So my typical morning is quite normal, you know, get up, wash up, coffee, and then just get to work. I don't have anything extra special.
Okay. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Is there a what CEO?
CEO.
Not really. I don't like the idea of mentorship in the sense that I want a mentor. If I can't get a mentor, it means that's it for me. Mm-hmm. That takes away from kind of being responsible for your action. It's almost like searching for that shortcut. You know, I want somebody who tells me how to do things. That's not how I think things should be done. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make mistakes. It's definitely okay to ask advice and listen around. But as like one person, I want to be that person. It doesn't make sense to me. In terms of just the kind of ideas and the growth of the company and stuff, there are a couple of people that I enjoy listening to. Elon Musk is one of the big ones.
Yep.
I like how that guy approaches things. Very, very aggressive, very...
no limits. He really thinks
outside. Exactly. Yeah. Thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
And then there are other kind of smaller companies. There are a couple of people in the industry that I follow, quite a few, Rand Fishkin, Will Reynolds, Ross Hudgens from Siege Media. There are mm-hmm. a couple people like that, but it's more not that I have them as a role model. It's more about they're in the same industry. They were able to grow marketing agencies from zero to much higher than where we are. So it's kind of just peers in the industry. And a couple other people, like, I forgot the name of the guy from Valuetainment. I do like his YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I do like how he presents the information and the interviews he does. So yeah, that's again, more not a person, but what they do. So maybe that's the difference for me. I don't look for a person, but rather the ideas and strategies and how they do things.
Gotcha. Okay. Very interesting. And what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh, one tool in general?
There's so many.
I don't know if I can answer that really. I don't think there is one tool that I can't live without, type of thing. It would be industry specific, you know, something that helps us to do our job. Mm-hmm. And nothing outside of that comes to mind.
What is one tool that you just really enjoy using then?
I really enjoy using, oh my.
Or makes your job easier?
It would be probably SEMrush, because we spend a lot of time in there, and as a tool, it's pretty great. I would say that it's a little bit kind of not a tool. It's the idea overall, like the internet, right? The ability to connect with anybody from anywhere in the world in seconds. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the tool in a sense. It is a tool that just opened up. I mean, the world became boundless. The ability to talk to anybody who's not close by. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a tool, but
it's definitely something that I feel like we all take for granted and that has changed our lives immensely. So, right. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
So I kind of mentioned the whole team thing. The team is what matters. Mm-hmm. Without the team, company does not exist. So that's definitely still stands. If there's someone who is just a solopreneur, make sure that the first hire is somebody who can help you grow, not just a assistant. That does not make any sense to me anymore. It made a lot of sense whatever many years ago.
Yeah.
Like I just gonna push some simple stuff on them but that's not the point. The point is to find somebody who helps you and the company grow, who can bring in the fresh ideas and push the company forward. So that's definitely stands. And other than that, just the idea that there are going to be troubles, there are going to be issues and problems along the way. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing that's unsurpassable. And there have been people who went through the same problems and issues. So get friendly with people in the industry who are at a much different level, and whenever you can ask advice, whenever you have, get somebody for a cup of coffee or something, just pick their brains and don't take everything at the face value, but learn from everybody and everything.
I love that. Great advice. And to add to that, I think if you don't have, you know, stress and worries in your day-to-day, you're not doing anything cool. You're not pushing yourself outside the box. So it just kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dimitri. It was a pleasure to have you on, and I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.